Welcome to the Williams Neekin YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Nancy in Houston.
Hi, Nancy. Good morning. Good morning. I'm trying to do a few things at one time. So, my paste didn't save. Let's start over again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There are a few of us on here, Monty. You are doing Mary Lou's call today?
Yes, I'm going to pick up where she kind of left off in that one chapter she asked me to, so I guess that's where we're headed. And that would...
Go ahead. She asked me to put up some coconut slides.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We're going to be pretty much talking about the how to, and this portion of it is basically boost your energy and increase your temperature, how to supercharge your metabolism. So whatever she... I guess would be, I'm going to probably cover something somewhere.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy. Good morning, Donna, probably.
Good morning. This is Donna.
I think good morning a few others who I don't see on the screen. So if you wanted to say hi. You certainly are welcome. So tell us where you're calling from. Hello, hello. It's a bright,
good morning,
sunny
day. Steve calling from the train.
From the train. There's no Utah hot train until you start talking about it. I thought you were still in the days of the buckboards down there.
Thanks a lot.
The train runs from where? Where does the train run from and to?
It runs from Sandy to downtown Salt Lake and then up to the university and pretty soon out to the airport. And then we actually have a commuter train that goes from just south of Brigham City all the way to downtown Salt Lake. And again, real soon, it's going to go down past Spanish Fork. So that's opening up shortly.
It's just bringing trains that are bringing people into Salt Lake, huh?
Yeah, commuter trains.
Various communities. Does there a train that runs from north to Utah, say down to St. George or someplace?
No. The commuter train is only going to go, from like Santa Clara to, I don't think it'll go as far as Santa Clara, but south of Spanish Fork, all the way up, almost to Brigham City.
Well, good lesson on geography there for the state of Utah.
Yeah, but it's about, 100 miles? 120 miles? Good.
Okay. Well, thank you. It is Wednesday. This is Reese Williams, so welcome to the Health Style Call. We have a little surprise. Mary Lou has guests, and so Monty has volunteered to take over her class. So here's Super Monty, gold distributor in Neekin, and one of our very favorite speakers.
Thanks, Monty. Ruth. Welcome, everybody, to the call this morning. I'm glad you're all here. For those of you that are on the WebEx and those of you that are not, we appreciate each and every one of you. Of course, our mission on this call is basically a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices and becoming more mind and body fit. And if you need to ever miss a call and want to go back and rehear, then you can go to www.allswell.org. That's allswell.org, and that's where Steve Crowfoot, one of the people that are on the call every morning, records the calls for us. Go to that particular webpage, check on health style choices, and you can find the recorded calls, and you can re-listen to them. I'm going to, Mary Lou, like Ruth said, has some guests, so she had called and asked me to kind of finish off this portion of the chapter that she was talking about in the book written by Dr. Fife, Bruce Fife, called Eat Fat and Look Thin, and she was discussing a chapter basically about how to supercharge your metabolism. Now, one of the things basically that this chapter, I'll kind of review real quick, it goes into a lot of people have thyroid situations, have low body temperature and whatever, and this pretty much explains why that is and why it happens, and there's ways that you can actually take your temperature to find out, but there's also normal ways that temperature is within our bodies at all the time, and it kind of, it starts out that basically body temperature is normally a little low in the morning for all of us, and in the evening and during the day it should be at or near an average of 98.6. And those people with what's called Wilson thyroid situations, syndrome I should say, normally have low temperatures during the day, and that's why they have cold feet and cold hands, and there are other situations to it. But usually, so they recommend that you go ahead and take your temperature three times a day, then divide it by three to get your overall average in regards to what your temperature has been all day long. But yet understanding that for all of us, that our normal temperatures in the morning are low, they're just basically a little bit more than 97.6, and in the evening they kind of come back down to that again. And the reason for all that is the metabolism of our body starts to slow down. So for those that have normal metabolism, their normal temperature is 98.6. Those that have low metabolism, it usually drops down to 97 or possibly could even be lower. So she also talked about the treatment for WCS is basically simple, and that gets into T3s and T4s, and I don't understand that a lot because I don't have a thyroid problem, I don't think. And basically have the theory of that coconut oil pretty well much increases your temperature, which when we get the temperature right within our bodies, our internal temperature, that the metabolism creates the thyroid to become more active and produce more enzymes and hormones of the thyroid so that it does its job that it's supposed to do. Understanding the thyroid is a very important gland within our body. So I'm going to kind of carry on here now and read some stuff, and we'll discuss for those that want to certain things. So if you have any questions or you would like to add to what I've just said or whatever, feel free to chime on and speak up. So we're going to talk about booster energy. And when someone comes to me, I'm reading from Dr. Fife, and he says here, when someone comes to me and says, I'm always tired, what can I do to get more energy without taking drugs or using caffeine? His answer is simply use coconut oil. And when I tell people pretty well much, when I tell people this, they just kind of first are startled, and won't that make me fat? I tell them, no, not so long as you don't overdo it by consuming more calories than your body needs to fuel daily activities. An easy way to do this is simply replace the oils you are currently using with coconut oil, and coconut oil can give you more energy and help you lose weight. Also, one of the major differences between coconut oil and other fats is the way in which they digested and metabolized. And we got into talking about that here a little while ago about long-chain fatty acids and medium-chain fatty acids and why they're so basically important to our body and why they actually react differently in our body. When we eat foods containing the long-chain fatty acids, we know that the fats are slowly broken down by digestive enzymes into units small enough to be absorbed through the intestinal wall. Now, here's the key important fact. As they pass through the intestinal walls lining, they are gathered together and packaged into little bundles of fat, which are called lipoproteins. These lipo or lipo, I don't know which it is, are sent into the bloodstream. And while they circulate through the body, and this kind of this makes totally sense to me, as they circulate in the through the body, where they actually circulate through the body, as they circulate in the blood, the fats are distributed to the tissues of the body. These are fats that end up in artery walls and fill up our fats. This is how fat builds up in our fat tissue. These lipoproteins continue to circulate in the bloodstream until most of all the fat is distributed somewhere within our body. Like I say, that can be in fat cells, it can be in lymph nodes, it can be in a lot of different particular type of areas. The vast majority of fats that we eat every day are kind of what is called the long-chain fatty acid. Now, the medium-chain fatty acids, which are called MCFAs, in coconut oil, however, are processed differently. We talked about that once before, how that basically that because of the size of the medium-chain fatty acids, they don't require pancreatic enzymes for digestion. And what that basically means is that by the time these fats reach the intestinal tract, they are already broken down into individual molecules, and instead of being absorbed through the intestinal wall like long-chain fatty acids, they are channeled directly into the liver. Now, the reason for that is the portal vein, and it goes through directly to the liver so it can be burnt as energy, and that's why we eat food. We eat food because it creates energy. It creates a fuel within our body, so in turn that we can have the energy to do the things that we need to do. Eating foods containing medium-chain fatty acids is like putting high-octane fuel into your car. The car runs smoother and gets better gas mileage. Likewise, with medium-chain fatty acids, your body performs better. Since medium-chain fatty acids are converted into energy, your energy level increases. This energy boost is like the kick you get from caffeine. It is more subtle and longer lasting. It is most noticeable as an increase in endurance. And that's one of the things they found out, that people that utilize medium-chain fatty acid or coconut oil have longer endurance, and that's why a lot of the athletes now, and even animals that do things in endurance type programs, are actually utilizing coconut oil because they get better endurance through it. One of the side effects, though, of being overweight is the lack of energy. Remember, the title of the book is Look Fat, Eat Fat, and Look Thin. So if you're on the call and you don't necessarily want to lose weight, well, what we're talking about today, of course, is the thyroid function. And one of the reasons for that is simply because carrying about a lot of excess weight is tiring. This encourages inactivity and further encourages weight gain. Coconut oil can give you the boost of energy that will help you and more actively throughout the day and help you burn off the extra calories. One of the things that I've come to, since we've got on coconut oil and other oils, is that coconut oil basically is the least, has the least amount of calories. And basically not all fats are alike. So if we just did nothing more than replace the oils that we now use with coconut oil, maybe one of the healthiest dietary decisions you can ever make. He goes on to say, we often think that the less fat we eat, the better. However, you don't necessarily need to reduce your fat intake. You simply need to choose a fat that is better for you, that doesn't contribute to weight gain. And here we're talking about calories now. One of the remarkable things about coconut oil that I found out is that it helps you to lose the weight. For this reason, coconut oil quite literally is called the low-calorie fat because it has the least amount of calories of any type of fat particularly out there. Now, all fats, whether they are saturated or unsaturated, from a cow or from corn, contain the same amount of calories. Now, the medium-chain fatty acid in coconut oil, however, are different. They contain a little less. Now, it isn't a lot less. It's only basically fewer calories of coconut oil. Has at least 2.56 fewer calories per gram of fat compared to the long-chain fatty acids. Now, most other oils out there, even including olive oil, is a long-chain fatty acid. So basically, the small reduction in calories, in other words, that's like if you ate a meal and you used one particular fat in that meal to cook the meal in or whatever, but you used coconut oil, you're going to get less calories. So when we have less calories and we're not consuming more food than what we basically need to eat to keep our body functioning the way that it needs to function, that we'll actually lose weight because we won't get as much calorie in that particular meal. And I thought that was kind of interesting for myself. And, you know, nowadays, we were finding pills for those of us that are overweight that now the FDA has approved where they got to two pills now that are on the market that you just pop a pill and you start losing weight. Well, I don't believe in that kind of stuff in my own mind because to me they're chemicals and they're foreign to our body, and anything that's foreign to our body, in my opinion, is not beneficial to it. And it's to say, wouldn't it be nice to be able to take a pill that would shift your metabolic rate into higher gear? In a sense, that's what happens every time we eat. And when we eat, it's kind of like, have you ever been on a cold day, maybe during the winter, and you sat down and you had a meal, and all of a sudden you felt warmer? Well, that all goes back to the metabolic rate is being kicked into higher gear because of the digesting that it does, our body does. It increases our internal temperatures. Protein has much of a greater thermogenic effort than other carbohydrate or fat. Thermogenic basically just means it increases the temperature in our bodies. That is why people suddenly cut down on meat consumption or become vegetarians. They often complain of a lack of energy. This is one of the reasons that high protein diets promote weight loss. And the increase in metabolism burns off more calories. And here we're talking about metabolism, and he's just explaining that if you eat meat and that sort of stuff, your metabolism rate will basically be higher because it takes body, the enzymes and the digestive juices, basically it's harder for them to digest the protein, which in turn creates the internal temperature, which basically keeps the metabolism rate higher. It's kind of like when you think of a fat that takes off weight rather than putting it on a strange, it's a strange concept to think that, you know, that we, particularly when we as Americans have gone through the, what I call the low-fat fad type things that they found out now are basically not beneficial to our bodies. And that's why coconut oil is, when people think of oil, they just think of fat. But what we're finding is that a coconut oil, in my opinion, and according to research and stuff, is one of the better ones that you can take. Now, I know I've heard the name of Dr. Julian Whitaker mentioned on this call at times, and even in our other call that we did, and he is basically a best-selling author and well-known authority on nutrition and health, and he explains long-chain fatty acids compared to medium-chain fatty acids, which are in coconut oil. He kind of refers to it as like heavy wet logs that you put on a small campfire, keeping adding the logs, and soon you have more logs than fire. Now, the medium-chain fatty acids, he says, on the other hand, Dr. Whitaker, is that it's kind of like rolled-up newspaper soaked in gasoline. They not only burn brightly, but will burn up the wet logs as well. And that's one of the things that many medium-chain fatty acids do when we eat them, in our diet, and put it in on certain foods, or cook with it, or do whatever, however you choose to do it. I like to just to take a tablespoon of it and eat it myself because I like coconut. But research basically supports Dr. Whitaker's view. In one study, the thermogenic fat burning effort of a high calorie diet contains 40% fat as medium chain fatty acids. And like I said, that basically what he's saying here is that when you eat medium-chain fatty acids, because we always get long-chain fatty acids into our body, we get it through the food we eat, the plants, certain animals, if you eat like protein, all kinds of proteins. But what he's saying is that if we eat the medium-chain fatty acids, that it actually helps metabolize and burn up the long-chain fatty acids, which are in our bloodstream that flow through and create all those little deposits in our artery walls and do whatever. Researchers have also shown that long-chain medium fatty acids with MCF could produce weight loss during decreasing energy. In other words, that's energy is basically food intake. In one study, researchers predicted that weight loss of up to 36 pounds a year So if you all you did was to switch from using ordinary cooking oils, which are usually entirely long-chain fatty acids, to using coconut oil, which is predominantly medium-chain fatty acids, you would lose weight even if you ate the amount of food. Dr. Fife goes on to say, he says he sees this all the time. People report to me that simply switching to coconut oil without any other dietary change has resulted in significant weight loss. Now, when he talks about significant weight loss, what we have to realize is we're not talking about going in and eating something or changing our diet and all of a sudden losing 20 or 30 pounds overnight. Weight loss does take time. Proper weight loss does take time. But, you know, if you lost 36 pounds, let's assume, in a year, that isn't that's even less than a pound a week. But yet, if you look at the cumulative effect of not getting so many calories in your body, and, of course, most of us, I believe, know that the less calories we eat, and I think Ruth talked about that on Monday, and they're finding out that the lower amount of calories that we can consume basically gives us a longer life. And that's one of the things I read about centurions, or in other words, people that are over 100 years of age, that they found that when they went back and looked at their diet, they found that most of them weren't on medications, but they did eat a low-caloric diet, which meant they didn't eat a whole lot of food like the average American does. And, of course, they found out that coconut oil and Wilson thyroid syndrome has been real beneficial to that effect. They've learned about success from doctors who are having treated Wilson's thyroid syndrome, and suddenly all the testimonies made sense. And what Dr. Fife is saying there is we all hear stories. We all hear in research how they give people placebo pills, and sometimes by just a person thinking that the medication they're taking, basically they get the reaction that they want to get pretty much within their body. And that's the way when Dr. Fife started out, when he heard about coconut oil, was he all these great stories of things that how it helped the thyroid and weight loss and arthritis and it stopped food cravings, arthritis, all those type of things, autoimmune diseases, and he basically didn't pay much attention and shrugged it off as just a coincidence. But what he found out was that when several doctors were using coconut oil to treat the thyroid syndrome, that it basically involves the patient to boost their T3 metabolism and raise body temperature. And he started to hear these. He started to make sense when he found out that other doctors were utilizing this. Of course, the advantage of coconut oil, that it's a food. And I guess when you think of food, you think of nice things that go in your mouth and taste good, and you can chew and do whatever. But basically, coconut oil is a food because of the low caloric intake that we have within our body. And one of the stories in here, she says about, I've been taking my, of a gentleman, he says, I've been taking my basal temperature every morning for over 3 years. And according to this Dr. Barnes, I have slightly underactive thyroid. However, in the last few days, after using coconut oil, my temperature is several tenths now, not degrees, tenths higher than it is that I have ever seen. Now, one of the things that we have to understand about temperature within our body, we don't need a large increase in temperature to feel it. Our body is so sensitive that it just, like it talks here, that just in tenths, we can actually feel the difference within our bodies. And I know those people that have thyroid conditions or have cold hands or cold feet or have problems, they're very sensitive to the temperature of their body, and they can always tell it. So how do we alterating our metabolic rate? Well, we can do it through diet, and one of the most important steps that you can take is to correct your metabolism problems is to making sure you get adequate nutrition. We know that to be true. We know about the acid and the alkaline food that we're learning now to eat and how our body is so important. We've got our Nikin wonderful products that we can utilize as far as nutrition goes. And if we're eating properly, that's one of the basic ways of getting adequate nutrition is to increase your metabolism. And your choice of dietary oils is important, too. Some oils stimulate metabolism while others depress it. Coconut oil is a thyroid system builder. Then the next thing is drugs. If possible, you should, if you have a thyroid condition, you should avoid all drugs that interfere with thyroid system functionings, like sulfa drugs. Antihistamines adversely affect the thyroid gland. Cortisone and other steroids affect the way the body handles thyroid hormones, blocking the conversion of T4 to T3. Now, I don't really understand T4 and T3, but I know those people that do have what they feel is a thyroid condition totally understand that very much. So that it does affect the thyroid. Drugs can basically slow down metabolism. One of the other things is exercises. We know that exercise has beneficial effects on metabolism and weight. Regular exercise stimulates metabolism, and we all know that, and I think that's very important. And the one nice thing about certain that we raise our metabolism and remains at heightened rate for several hours after exercise is stopped and can remain slightly elevated for up to 2 days, and I didn't realize that. You know, it's kind of when we get on a, whatever we're walking or a treadmill or whatever it is we're doing for exercise, as soon as we stop doing that, we know our heart rate's up and we know our metabolism rate's up, and we'll go in a little while, we kind of relax and everything kind of slows down. And I guess I always thought that's when my metabolism rate slowed down, but I find that not to be true, because of exercise, it can actually last up to 2 hours and sometimes up to 2 days based upon the type of exercise that people do. So that, I find that that's one of the main reasons that exercise is very, very important, particularly whether you're trying to lose weight or not. Exercise is so important for our body and our glands. One of the other things is heat. Those people who have the opportunity to go to saunas or have hot baths, you can elevate your body temperature much the same way that exercise does. And one of the other things I found in this chapter here, he talks about sunlight. And I know we've discussed vitamin D and why it's all important, but I think in reading this one little segment here, I realized that there are different ideas about sunlight. And sunlight influences our health by the chemical and electric activities it ignites in our skin and our brain. For example, when light enters the eye, millions of light-sensitive cells called photoreceptors convert the light into electric impulses. These impulses travel along the optical nerve to the brain, where they trigger the hypothalamus gland to send chemical message to regulate the autoimmune, or the autonomic, which means involuntary function of the body. The hypo, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. If I'm not, somebody needs to jump in here and correct me. The hypothalamus releases hormones that control the activities of the glands, including the thyroid gland. So who would think that sunlight, basically that the natural light that we get outdoors, is so important to our body? And I know Nikan has picked up on all this in regards to our new light system that we have available, because of the basically the wavelengths, and realizing that artificial light is not beneficial to our body, and particularly for those people that have a thyroid situation. Also, we're often told to shield ourselves from the damaging rays of the sun, especially the UV radiation, because it can cause skin cancer. Now, when I read this little paragraph here, it totally kind of blew my mind. It says the most deadliest form of skin cancer is melanoma, because all of the publicity blaming sunlight for skin cancer, many people are paranoid about being out in the sun. And he goes on to say that he's heard people make all sorts of claims after being exposed to the sun as a children and getting bad sunburns or getting bad sunburns, later developing skin cancer as adults. And basically what they have found, one person, in other words, he had a real bad sunburn, and then all of a sudden he got melanoma on his foot, and doctor explains, he says, that's kind of strange to me. He gets a sunburn on his arms and his legs, but yet he gets melanoma on the foot, and he blames the sunlight for it. Well, it occurs not when melanoma doesn't occur. It occurs not when the sun exposure is the greatest, but where it is the least. In other words, well, let me go ahead and read it, because the Navy did a great study here to suggest that a lack of sunlight may be a bigger problem. Research seems to verify this. A study carried out by the U.S. Naval compared the risk of melanoma for different naval occupations. It was discovered that those with indoor jobs had the highest incidence of melanoma. while those who worked or at least part of the time outdoors had the lowest rate of melanoma. They also have found out that in addition to the rate of melanoma occurred, most melanoma occurs on the trunk of the body, which is basically pretty much covered by clothing as opposed to the head and the arms, which are most likely to expose to sunlight. The author of this study stated that the location of the melanoma suggests a positive, I want to repeat that again, a positive role for regular exposure to sunlight. And I thought that was strange. And I know when my mother, she had a slight melanoma on a temple of her head. And when the doctor went in, he looked at that. And the other thing he had mother do, he said, I need to do a full body, I'll call it a visual scan. And it was strange that he did that. And I thought, well, that isn't where the sun, you know, the basically hits. But he went over mother tooth and nail on her entire body, searching for melanoma. So again, when I read this then, it made sense why the dermatologist was looking all over the body, just not in the places where the sun basically hits. We also know that sunlight's very important for vitamin D. We all know that. Vitamin D suppresses the growth of melanoma cells. So that's kind of the end of where I think we want to go today. And one thing I want to state before I guess it's kind of like when we've all heard that we listen to a CD or a DVD or we read a book that when we go back and reread it again that we pick up different things. Well, that's kind of how I feel about medium-chain fatty acids, even though we've talked about it before, is that I pick up certain different things in reading basically the same chapter that I read before. So does anybody have any comments or any suggestions? Well, I must have lost you all.
Thank you very much, Monty. I so much appreciate you doing the call. Thank you.
Well, appreciate you very much.
Well, I'm just mulling this all over in my mind.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments, Joan, right away?
Well, as you were talking and you spoke about the body the metabolism being elevated for 2 days, the effect of exercise, that's just another, it's another example that I've experienced and tested with blood sugar, that the changes that we make, exercise or diet changes, seem to have a 2 to 3 day effect. That is, our body looks to balance things out. You know, it's sort of like, oh, we're going to be turning left now. Okay, well, everybody lean left, you know, and it takes it a while to, you know, if you go back to a bad habit, it takes a while to, you know, to go back to the bad, you know.
Well, you know, Joan, in the research that I'm doing and on things and what we learn on this particular call, you know, I so find out that when I was on the first original call that Ruth did, that, you know, I lost over 100 pounds on that. And I know now exactly why I got back into the situation that I did. I quit doing the good things that I heard on that call. I quit eating the good type of foods.
Yeah.
You know, in this particular program, we've learned so much about alkalized and our bodies being alkaline and the acidic type foods and how we need to have the balance of our food in order for our body to function properly, and how basically food so much controls what goes on in our body. And just like we were talking about here, like exercise. That exercise so is important, whether you do it all the time or not. But, you know, they always say that at least 30 minutes a day, and we know that certain things are accumulative. When I talked about rebounding the other day, that, you know, and Ruth has shown us here where, you know, if you just exercise 5 or 10 minutes before each a meal, that how that brings your metabolism rate up, and basically that's ways. And the nice thing about that for me is that it puts me on a type of a schedule. In other words, I know that before I eat, what I need to do is jump on that rebounder and do exercise for 5 or 10 minutes. If I do that for every meal, then I've accomplished my 30 minutes per day of exercise, and that's what they claim, research does, that that's the best for us. And there's all different types of exercise.
Yeah, and Monty, that the key thing, that schedule, you said schedule. I'll just, that's another example. Your body adjusts to, your body loves routine. And it adjusts its metabolism, its processing, it adjusts to a routine. You know, any routine it likes better than no routine. Okay, because it's just always being pulled one direction, another direction. You know, it's, you know, you're eating super acid and it's pulled to you know, make it more alkaline, or you eat super alkaline and it's pulled to make it more acid. And it's, and the other thing I wanted to say, about exercise, I hope this is encouraging, because it kind of shocked me. I found that by exercise, you didn't, for me personally, just keep moving. When the days I would go out and do heavy garden work, there was no change in blood sugar, no difference in blood sugar between that and going out and doing walk around light, you know, piddling, you know, I just kept moving. I just kept moving. You know, I did not take a nap. Okay. I just simply kept moving. So that whole idea of, oh, I've got to do a big thing here. No, you have to keep moving.
Yep. That's so true about everything. You know, on the screen now we have the oil push, oil swishing, and oil pulling. You know, when I first started doing that with coconut oil, it really kind of bothered me to begin with. But I, over time now that I've become so accustomed to it, sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. And basically, it, like the slide said, that it basically gets the bacteria out of your mouth. And coconut oil is a good oil, just like we talked about in this little bit here, about how it's has less caloric value than most fats. And we all know that if we just start cutting back on certain things, or that's a nice thing. Now, sometimes people take, when they hear an idea, say like coconut oil makes you lose weight. Well, sometimes what happens when we hear those kind of things, and I guess I could be guilty of this, is that we think, okay, we can start eating that particular food or the coconut oil or whatever, and that allows us to either eat more. No, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that if you just eat what the body requires as far as calories to have the energy to burn to do what it needs to do, if you continue that and utilize the coconut oil, then you will, of course, you lose weight just because of that little bit of 2.56 percentage of lower calories than what other oils that we utilize, or salad dressings, or putting on our food.
Yeah, plus then it has the addition of increasing your metabolism, which, you know, has another similar effect.
Yeah. Well, I know when I first got on it, and I don't think I have a thyroid problem, but when I first got on it, I noticed that when I was, and I eat anywhere from 3 to 4 tablespoons a day, I make sure that I put a tablespoon in my mouth in the morning, the swishing, I find that, you know, I sometimes sit around and actually feel warmer myself than what I used to. So, again, this just validates to me the reaction that I get from these things that we're talking about to my body. Anybody else have any comments or suggestions or questions? Okay, I guess we'll wrap it then for the day. See, tomorrow is Thursday. Ruth will be with us on Thursday. Am I right on that, Ruth?
I think Nancy will probably.
Oh, Nancy.
Do our lesson.
Oh, okay. Great. So Nancy.
Is that Nancy? Right. Are you planning to do the call on Thursday? Hello, Nancy. Maybe you're.
I had to unmute. Yes, I'm going to be doing it on Thursday.
Great. Do you have a subject yet?
Well, I thought I would talk about the grains, how they affect our body, the different, like the wheat and all of that. That's kind of along the lines of my gluten problem. I don't know how many others have gluten sensitivity.
But, good.
Got everybody, I think. See, that'll be a great talk.
Yeah. I think we're all kind of, you know, even though you might not have celiac disease, which one of the reasons for gluten, but I just think that gluten-free is kind of the way to go. I know a lot of people now are, you know, think of it as a fad, as things travel around, but I really feel that being gluten-free helps me an awful lot. Okie doke. Well, we'll get to Nancy tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. At least that's Pacific Standard Time. I know that's different for Nancy in Texas, but we'll be a pleasure to hear you talk on tomorrow, Nancy. And, again, thanks, everybody, for being on the call. And hope I did you justice, Mary Lou, but we'll have a great day. And everybody, do what you know you need to do.
Okay.
Have a great one. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Monty.
Thank you.
Stop. Bye-bye.